It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The buck stops here.
For supergroups. From 1 ton to 8 ton, supergroups are the masters of Kubota excavators.
Right, okay, now let's jump straight in. My main point this morning is around the way the game is played, and I reckon the flood is back.
The flood's back.
The flood's back. Yeah, it used to be a derogatory term around protecting your back half and just parking the bus and not allowing the opposition to score, but the flood is back. And I think the Geelong-Carlton game showed it more than any other. And potentially, I think it's the teams that are doing this are actually the teams that are giving themselves the best chance to contend.
From our perspective, we're not setting the game up to say, let's have the ball live in our back half and when we can get it through, we'll score. But I think that's how a few of our games have panned out a little bit. It's not necessarily by design. We're certainly not setting up to start our forward forays from the back half. But the key for us is making sure, well, if that happens, that we don't get scored against every time. And I thought the way we held up against their inside 50 dominance was really solid.
I think Chris speaks with forked tongue.
Explain.
I think he's got more than one arrow in his quiver. There's no doubt that Geelong have always been a defence first side. So at stoppage, they'll always set up with an extra number. And we saw time and time again, if it was in a fast turnover or in a stoppage loss, Geelong always had an extra number around either Harry Mackay or Charlie Kerner. Now, sometimes that was defender, sometimes it was a winger, like Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah.
We talk about players given a licence to go wherever they like. Traditionally, every team has a player who goes behind the ball if they want to hold up. And this might be a phase. You know, you see a red sign or something, and it'll go, okay, last 2 minutes of a quarter, or when the opposition's kicked three goals. I reckon Jeremy Cameron just does it
whenever
he feels it. Yeah,
it looked like that on Saturday.
And he from a wing, he gets all the way back, and he doesn't keep his width as a wingman, just sliding. He just goes into the hole, and when you've got that capacity, that capability, and you've got the experienced players that can action it, it just means that you're always supporting your back six. Wingers have always done it, but if you've got a forward that goes and does it, and then you've got a ruckman that gets behind and goes and does it, already you've got 9-10 bodies. Yeah, they're not setting up for starting their offense. They're still a very high pressure, at ball pressure side, Geelong. But they're joining Sydney, they're joining GWS, and Melbourne are probably the other ones, Fremantle are the other ones, who don't need to win the inside 50 count by huge numbers to have a significant gap in the scoring.
So explain to me and explain to the average footy fan out there who's going, okay, well, that's fine. We've got our numbers in the defensive 50 and we are flooding. You're essentially saying Geelong are flooding. Then wouldn't logic suggest that when you win the ball back in your back half, you are kicking it to all the opposition's extra numbers who should be set up with their spares? How is it that Geelong can transition the ball through the numbers that they've got in their back half to score as efficiently as they did when Carlton should have the extra numbers? Because that's just what logic suggests.
Yeah, but you said kicking as a choice of possession or disposal with that, and that's not what Geelong are doing. Geelong are running the ball out, and GWS run the ball out, and Collingwood, which is why they will be in the mix for a long time because of the way they set up the ground. They set up the ground to protect their defence, and they're one of the best teams when they're going end-to-end and scoring from the back.
So it's about running the ball with your numbers, link up, handball, forward handball chains, and then you're out and then you're kicking it to an open forward.
Richmond were dominant in the competition for 4 or 5 years there, a period, they always had an extra number. They always had Grimes, Vlosten as an extra who supported their back half. And they had wingmen that would work all the way back and then all the way forward. And when we talked to Zach Tui after eight, I'll ask him about, because he ended up kicking 3 goals off the wing, sliding really hard forward. See, this is a hard, high work rate game of footy that Geelong are playing. So they had 45 insides to 66. So 45 insides to score 18 goals. And they did something similar against Adelaide 3 or 4 weeks back. But they're averaging, they've got the same number of inside 50s as their opposition across the season to date, but they're plus 180 points for that time. We've got Sydney, who are only plus 4 inside 50s as an average against their direct opposition, but they're plus 230 points. So what you're seeing here, and GWS are probably at the high end, they're plus 6. So their inside differential is a lot better, but they're plus 200 points. So the sides that we're looking at are the sides that defend their back third really well because they've got the work rate to get numbers behind, but then they've got the ability to work the ball with numbers through the opposition's midfield and then to score really well when they go inside 50. So the sides that are doing it the best, Sydney, Geelong, GWS, Melbourne to a certain extent, but they're a little more dour. They get back to support, but they're probably not scoring as well the other way, but they're protecting really well. Question will be is does stoppage matter? Does clearances and contested ball, does it make the big difference in today's footy? Because the jury suggests that, or the evidence suggests that maybe it's not as important as it was in yesteryear.
This time last week, we had a discussion around Geelong, and you said they're doing everything that they can do. They're playing against who they're playing in, but who have they beaten? There's no buts now, Bucks. Can we at least agree on that?
No, they stood up really well. You know, Carlton could have won that game, and it was a high-quality game. Carlton's best players played really well. Geelong's structure,
There are no buts.
Yeah,
on Geelong.
But it's round 7.
Gee, you're stubborn. All right, let's move on.
But it's round 7.
Let's move on.
The flip side of that is Carlton and their midfield. We've spoken about Pitnett early and how he's came in and made a significant difference. Cripps is playing as good a footy as we've seen, and Sam Walsh has come into the fold. You know, they're going to worry a lot with that midfield. And, Vossi wasn't happy, but, they're still doing a fair bit right.
Yeah, it's a pretty good battle. I mean, you know, I thought we certainly got plenty of looks through the middle of the ground. Our mids gave us plenty of drive. We got territory from right part of the game. So, there's no issue there. The mids have gone to work.
Yeah, and I thought I wanted to single out one of his players, one of Vossi's players, and didn't play a lot early, but Sam Walsh has come in the last 3 weeks. I was actually asked after his first game on Fox, if you had a choice, you had to take one player for 5 years, and I'll ask you this one now. Sam Walsh or Connor Rosie, who are you taking for the next 5 years?
Oh, it varies. If you asked me
not
3 weeks
lose,
ago, I would have said Rosie.
Well, that was off the back of Rosie's first half where he had 20 touches.
In the Essendon game. Now he's done a hammy. He's been missing for 3 weeks, and Walsh has come in and done what he has done. I think it's line ball. It depends what you want. If you want reliable, consistent, hardworking, unbelievable leader, you go with Walsh. If you want a bit of brilliance and a bit of star power and a bit of X factor and a bit of match winning ability and probably more craft around the goals, you go Rosie. So
I said Rosie at the time because I wasn't sure about Sam Walsh's availability, like or whether he was going to what's going on with his back and how that's going to transpire. But watching in the last 3 weeks, he's averaging 33 touches, and that's not the be all and end all. He's averaging 8 tackles. He's averaging 6 clearances, 13 contested possessions. But for me, it is his no nonsense turns up every moment of the game that he is involved, he is invested in it, he makes an impact. I get the sense, and we saw this late last year with his performances in finals, the bigger the games get, the more impactful he will become. Now, he's played really good footy now, just jumped straight back in and has not missed a beat. I love, he's always there. He's the third bloke at every one-on-one. He's the fifth bloke at a two-on-two. He outnumbers as hard as any. I think his kicking is effective. It's not, he's not a scalpel with it, but his kicking is really effective. But he's just, his ability to be the extra number at the contest, whether it's defensive to stick a tackle and pressure, or whether it's to win the ball, I'm really going to enjoy watching this bloke play. And I reckon the longer seasons go in terms of getting deep into towards finals, or you know, games that, 8-point games that need to be won in August, or games in September, I just think he's going to separate himself as he goes along.
You can have your say on that. 0433981116. What are you making of the Lions and their coach?
Yeah, well, really interesting. I heard with interest your comments about Chris Fagan's post-match presser, and I think I recognise where he's at.
Where's that?
The work that he's done with the group, the commitment that he's shown to this group, the success that they have had without having the ultimate, they have had success. But let's just remind ourselves about a couple of those comments and then we'll come back.
It sounds all like doom and gloom, but this group has been so good for the last 5 years. I admire them and respect them for the efforts that they've been able to put in over the last five seasons. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and bag the team for the way that they perform tonight. I'm in it with them, you know, and the way forward is together.
I admire them and respect them for what they've been able to do in the last 5 years, and I'm in it with them. It's a really, like, the conversations that will take place in the four walls at Brisbane, you know, probably would have been taking place the last couple of weeks, but this week in particular, like going forward, that Chris Fagan is a coach who's put himself at the same level of his senior players, and he's put his trust and faith with them. And
is that the right move?
I think it largely has been. You can't criticise what they've been able to achieve.
What's the alternative to not put yourself in with the players?
I think that old school coaching was the coach stayed above and told players what to do, like discipline them heavily,
Give me an example.
Strips off them if they like talk about effort. If their effort wasn't there, I just reckon. Like, listen to Brassy way back when, and you know, I think Lee Matthews is probably a guy that stayed above, but always stayed above his players, but still treated them like men. I think when sometimes old school, you stay above your players, it's nearly like it's a contest. It's a hierarchy. I think the modern coaching has come a little bit more to trust and have faith and to walk with some of you with your senior players and your senior core and your locker room a little bit more than you would have done in yesteryear. And I think Fakes has done that effectively well. I think that's the type of man manager that he naturally was and has become.
Is there a but coming?
Well, the but is, what do you do now? So when your players aren't giving you the necessary effort, you know, short of, you know, you look them in the eye and you've, for the last 5 years, you've gone, like, this is, here's the evidence. We need a better effort, you know, whether it's Josh Dunkley or whether it's Lachie Neal or whether it's Harris Andrews. And they've responded to that for 5 years, but eventually that message wears thin. And there's got to be repercussions. So there's got to be selection repercussions. Chris Fagan has to separate himself in some shape or form from this tight connection that he has with his existing leaders. So that, and he's got to change his language to stop talking about what they've done in the last 5 years and to start worrying about what they're doing right now.
So is he? Are you suggesting he's under pressure? Because 8 games ago or whatever it was, they lose a grand final by under a kick. And now we're 8 games. It's only 8 games, and we're starting to say, is this a guy under pressure?
Well, 2 games ago, don't worry about 8 games ago, games ago, Brisbane took on Melbourne on the MCG and looked amazing. But when you get fluctuations in effort like that, and it is, it's effort and energy. When you get fluctuations in effort and energy from the same group in such a short space of time, how do you challenge that? Yeah, you've got to sharpen the saw. There's got to be some repercussions in some shape or form. And Fags has always been a guy who goes back and trusts his players, who gives a faith to his players. And I understand that. I admire that. And I think that that has been a large part of their success. So to have to now make a different decision and look differently at it is a challenge.
This is the Buck Stotts for Supergroups, first picked every week for Kubota Excavators. supergroups.com.au.
Oh, probably as a footy club and as a group of players and coaching staff, just stay the course and hang in there. You know, we played against an opponent today who, strangely enough, the whole footy world was up in arms about where Adelaide was positioned 2 or 3 years ago, and we're in a very, very similar boat to where they were, and you can just see the evolution of their side. We just know where we're at as a footy club. I thought we competed a lot better today. We're more consistent in our effort across the four quarters. They were just too strong and powerful for us in the air.
Well, there you had Alistair Clarkson talking about North Melbourne and their loss against Adelaide down in Tassie. One of his most difficult jobs at the moment is to manage expectations externally, and that's part of a coach's job, because it does filter into the energy of your players. We spoke about how Geelong are playing and how the Flood is back. I think that the way North are going about at the moment is to try. They're really trying to teach their kids from the ground up, and I don't think you can play the style that wins, that looks like it's going to have you in contention. Now, I don't think you can play that style with a young group, because it teaches them the wrong way to play footy. Does that make any sense?
So you're saying North can't play the way Geelong are playing?
No.
Because that sets them up for bad habits.
I just don't think it... I mean, they'll get bogged down in their back third.
Won't be able to score at all.
And the irony is their midfield is struggling to the point now that their defence, and they don't have key backs, effective key backs. So they need extra numbers behind the ball. So Clarko could go back to the future, and he could flood, and he could support his backs, and you'll see North Melbourne in, you know, maybe 12 goal versus 4 goal games. I don't know if that's going to help his youth.
Is it better than the alternative of this North ball rubbish that we heard throughout the preseason, where that's not setting them up for great habits either? Like, they're getting slaughtered off turnover. The opposition's ability to score from their back half is a real concern. There's definitely a lack of effort and pressure on the opposition, and the opposition's team's ability to transition the footy. We saw what Hawthorn did to them last week, and this is Hawthorn who have won one game of footy. I mean, he's talking about comparing his team against sides coming up that are in a similar position. Not that they're as young Adelaide, but they're not old. They're one of the youngest teams, and they've destroyed them. Mm. So has he got his game plan wrong for where this group is at, and is it the wrong way around? Should it be more defensively now rather than North ball rubbish that
saw? Well, we know that's just because we've spoken about North ball, and North ball was a media title
that they gave themselves.
Did they?
They put on that on the public record themselves.
So North players. So, yeah, so George, this is Warbourg, the way they speak about, yeah, it internally.
This was the way they used to speak. They don't do it anymore.
Well, I would. Whilst we might focus on that, I guarantee you that during the week they're talking about how they defend as well.
I hope so.
They're talking about how they're going to win contested ball, how they want to set up stoppage. I think the issue with North, and for the North fans out there, the issue that you've got at the moment is that your most talented players are the most young and inexperienced. So you're going to get, you know, fluctuations in performance. And there's no doubt.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, like Mitch, the producer, was on me about saying fluctuations. You can hear the dump button.
You've handled it nicely.
if you took four or five of North's most talented young players and put them in a GWS, put them in a Geelong, put them in a Sydney, they would look like they would look two, three, four times the players that they look at the moment.
So what's the way out?
In a structure
North
that's defined.
Fans don't want to hear patience. They don't want to hear references to Adelaide being 2 years ago. Because Adelaide, their actual stepladder was in line. Like they go from down the bottom, but then they win a couple more games. Then it's another. And then the progression is there that you can see. There's no progression. There's no improvement from a win-loss perspective at North. So when he speaks about other teams and comparing them to other teams, you could actually see that they were improving year on year. There isn't any of that improvement. And I get the feeling North fans are sick of being told to be patient.
Well, I think that there's going to be a lot more pain. They thought Clarkson
was the guy that was going to actually put them in a position to improve year on year.
Okay, well,
and he hasn't.
Well, let's rip the Band-Aid off. It's not just the coach. That's the Messiah coaching idea is a fallacy.
But so they sold that wrong. I mean, there were the talk about, no, we didn't need a plan B because we had Alistair Clarkson, the positivity around that. That was the wrong message to send. It should have been a more of a whole club approach rather than paying one coach the figure that he is on, which means you don't get the support around him probably that other clubs have, that there is more a balanced distribution of the soft cap. When you pay the coach that much, it doesn't leave a lot for everyone else. And you're
That's
suggesting that there's a lot of other areas that North have to get right.
I think getting a playing group that has got the right age profile and the connection. Like the coach needs tools in terms of his players to be able to go and build what he needs to build. North don't have... They don't... Like, Wardlaw's a great player and will be a very good player, and he's your bull inside. You don't have enough talent in there to win the ball and to go and service your forward line. Now, Larky's a very good key forward. There's zero key backs like that are effective at their role at the moment, and that's with due respect. I think Dawson's got some upside and got some capability, but there's very little intercept marking there. There's no Tom Stewart, there's no Nick Vlosten, and there's no key backs that are going to not just halve contests but win a contest and then give a chance to bounce. There's a bit of run off the ground, and that's where the bounce off the back with, you know, We've got McKercher. Fisher played as a sub, but he's given you a bit of bounce. She's obviously looking great, and he's a great young kid, you know, mature, great and very talented. But there's just few and far between at the moment, and to see the glue that pulls it all together, you still need talent in certain positions for the other talent of being an outside player or being a skillful player to be able to use the ball. There's just not enough meat and potatoes to take advantage of the cream on the cake.
Yeah, North fans, let us know your thoughts. 0433 98 11 16. Are you sick of being told to be patient? I get the feeling that you are. This is The Buck Stops Here, and we're doing it all thanks to Melbourne Airport Parking. You can book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au. And for Sonos, experience game-changing sound this season with Sonos.
Yeah, it was really exciting. You know, we sort of knew the player we have. He's very clean with the ball in hand. He makes, I think the measure of a really good player is that you make others around you better. And that's what he did today. You know, his ability to find a target inside 50 is probably something we've lacked a little bit. And he started to bring that. You know, he's only going to get better as he gets fitter.
That was Damien Hardwick talking about Jake Rogers, who in his second game had a profound influence on
He's a left-footed Grind Myers. That's what he looks like. He's got a bit of a around-the-body sort of kicking style, but his ability to set up his teammates, as Dimmer was referring to there, and make them better. This was a huge game. He's had 22 five entries, kicked a goal, 8 score involvements, and every other club just must be pulling their hair out because it's another one of these academy prospects that just come through the production line.
Well, I put it that Darcy Jones was a player the day before who, he and Harvey Thomas, I've said this consistently, the GWS boys, they look like they're 15. They were signing autographs for kids that looked older than them. The guys they were signing autographs had Mo's, and they were 3 years younger. But they're just young fellas. They come in and they've got traits. They've got speed. They run towards the goals direct and fast, but they're off the back of, you know, an established defensive structure. And this is different. So Dimmer's actually coaching a pretty much a man-on-man defence. He spoke about uncontested marks and that they got that they had nearly 50 in the first half, but less than 30 in the second. So that's obviously a key metric for the way Gold Coast are going about it. And that simplifies the way you defend, which actually gives you, and that pulls the game into contest as much as you possibly can. But it comes back down to your work rate and your work ethic needs to be high. So he's tipping into his players to be able to bring that to the table. But when you see blokes like Jake Rogers, Darcy Jones come in and play their roles so early, it just shows you that, you know, if you can stock pick, if you can build your team, you can stock pick. Geez, you can find players that make a significant and substantial difference really quickly. But yeah, very impressive young men hitting the competition so early.
A few texts coming through. This one from Brendan in Brisbane. G'day, Barks. Long time interstate Kangas member based in Brisbane. My biz concern is our leaders, in particular our captains. 7 rounds in and neither captain has been in our best 4 or 5 players. We got it wrong there. When do we go to the market and throw big dollars at a key defender and a key forward? Could you consider making a selection statement with the captains at North?
Yeah, they haven't been great, so neither Simkin nor McDonald. McDonald obviously came back off a pretty significant injury, but hasn't really been able to impact. He's both of them haven't been able to impose their best traits. So, but where do you go from that? You know, you really do need your leaders to stand up, especially when you're in a situation like North. But there's no, you know, Paddy Cripps. There's no, I mean, Harley Reid. We've seen the energy that he gave West Coast. He wasn't in the game on the weekend, but it was Sam Durham for Essendon. Who's that guy, young kid that's coming in and giving energy to the group with his desperation and his contest? We don't. Maybe Wardlaw, but there's just not enough going with him.
All right. We're in the Kogan Mobile Studio. They've got you covered with 120 gigs for $120 to use across 12 months. Kogan.com. It's clicking awesome.